This is Eddie with the Eddie Knows Fitness Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. So today I'm going to interview Nicole Sachs. She lives up on the in the Northeast. She is a licensed clinical social worker, and she has a website, howtocurechronicpain.com. Really amazing. I've been following her work. She's been on national TV before. She's got a great selling book on Amazon that talks about step-by-step how to utilize journaling and journal speak to alleviate yourself from chronic pain. I'm a chronic pain survivor, and utilizing methods very, very similar to what she's describing, I've been able to eradicate this and get back to the sports that I love and the life that I love. You know, a lot of it has to do with being very mindful of a lot of things, but ultimately it's something that's going to impact your life in a very big way. And so if you suffer from migraines or muscle pain or continuous issues with your knees or your elbows or whatever the case is, really anything that is longer than, let's say, 6 or 8 weeks. Whether there is a spinal abnormality, for instance, or not, this could really be the way out of it. In fact, Nicole goes on to talk in this show about this abnormality that she has in her lower spine. It's a mess, right? Look, it's destroyed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it is the cause of your pain. And so by using the methods that she talks about in this podcast, she was able to alleviate herself and give herself a pain-free life. She's got lots of testimonials on her website. She's got a YouTube channel. She's got a Facebook group. She's got a following, and she's got a lot of work with her publicist coming up over the next few months for national TV publications, things like that, where the sort of messaging around the cure for chronic pain and being able to alleviate yourself from a lot of these continuous issues that are plaguing people for hundreds of millions of dollars every single year can something that can really be eradicated by just utilizing your thoughts and utilizing your, and this isn't just some, you know, bullshit story around, if I think I will be okay, then I will be okay. It's not like that at all. It's, she calls it the steam valve, and we'll go in and we'll talk about the steam valve and really ultimately what that means, here in a little bit. So here's the interview with Nicole. I think you're going to love this. If you've got any sort of interest in chronic pain, or you've had any sort of an issue, or maybe you've had headaches or migraines or knee problems, elbow problems, you know, back pain, neck pain, even if you have herniated discs or if you have spondylosis, you have a lot of these different ailments, this could very well, and I would say in all likelihood, can alleviate you from a life of pain simply by following a lot of the modalities that she talks about. So again, here's Nicole Sachs. You're going to love this. This is Eddie with the Eddie Knows Fitness Podcast. I'm here with Nicole Sachs. Nicole, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So I came across Nicole. I'm in a couple of different groups on Facebook related to this idea of tension myositis syndrome or tension myoneural syndrome. You know, essentially there's a collection of chronic pain sufferers in the world, but particularly in the United States, the annual spend on chronic pain treatment is into the hundreds of millions at this point. And so what Nicole specializes in, she has a website, thecurechronicpain.com. And I've come across a lot of Nicole's work when it pertains to curing of chronic pain, that it being more of a psychological base or emotional base type of an issue, as opposed to traditional jump doctor to doctor, and hopefully one of them has you know, the magic pill. So Nicole, I guess I just, you know, I kind of want to start with, what's your background and your interest in this stuff? You know, where did you get your start in counseling, and what really interests you in this? And then, you know, ultimately, why did you choose this as your path, chronic pain?
Great. Yeah, it's my favorite. I love to start with my story because for me, it's so powerful. It hasn't only created my career, it's created my life. So I was a psych undergrad student in college, and during that time, I had an acute incident with my back, which means some people would call it your back went out. I was in terrible pain. I was unable to function to the point where it was my freshman year. I had to actually be brought home from college by my parents, and I went through the typical, you know, which I always recommend people do. First, make sure that, you know, there's not something that needs to be healed, like if there was a tumor in my back or something like that. So I got the x-rays and the MRIs, and I was seen by many specialists. And they actually had a diagnosis for me. I have, and I still have it, a degenerative spinal condition called spondylolisthesis. Some people will have heard of it. And what it essentially means is I have abnormalities in my lower spine that look very frightening on x-ray and MRI. And I was told at the time, I was 19, that I would have a very limited life. It was something I had to get used to, which essentially meant I shouldn't travel I shouldn't ride in the car, bouncy car, for more than an hour at a time. There were certain very specific ways I should sleep. I should not do any sports that involved any sort of bouncing, no jogging, horseback riding, skiing, anything that could incur a fall. And I was 19 years old, and I was told that. And most importantly, in terms of my life, they said that it would be unlikely that I would ever carry a child to term biologically without significant bed rest, because my abnormality looked like it could become incredibly severe if the weight of the baby was stressing the fractures in my spine. So it was a pretty serious diagnosis at the time, you can imagine.
Yeah, definitely. I guess you kind of bounce around, you saw the different doctors. People that listen to this show know that I'm a huge fan of Dr. John Sarno. And I know that there's some kind of a connection there with you personally, I believe. But ultimately, like, did your initial path down, maybe the physical side of this is not really the path that's ultimately going to help me find my way to the light, if you will. Like, what was it? Was it the book, or was it, where did your start ultimately happen when it was, maybe there's something that's deeper here?
Well, I think that initially, first of all, I was so young, and second of all, I had never heard of Dr. Sarno. So initially I did what most people do, what many, many people are still doing, which is I turned to the medical model, and I didn't think there was anything other than the medical model. And just to kind of skip forward five steps, one of my greatest passions and purposes in my work is to help people understand that there are other choices rather than simply the medical model. So I did not know that at the time. So I lived my life. I went on. I had some chronic pain, but I didn't have any acute pain, because I had been on steroids, and it calmed it down enough that I was sort of like on and off in chronic pain and just kind of in denial over all of those very serious limitations that my life might have. So as I was going on, one day, and this is way back in the archives of TV, my mother was watching the Rosie O'Donnell show when she used to have her regular talk show. And she saw Rosie put out a plea that her producer, Jeanette Barber, was in a motorized wheelchair, and that she put out a plea, nobody can help her. She's been to every doctor. She's in agony. Does anyone have any ideas? So my mother was just watching the show. I wasn't with her. And everybody apparently wrote in, or many people, and said, Dr. John Sarno. So the follow-up to that episode was Jeanette Barber doing a cartwheel on stage. And apparently that year she also ran the New York Marathon. And so it was obviously like a really compelling story. And my mother called me, in hysterics and said, you need to read this book. And that was the beginning of my journey. That was the very beginning. And, without going into a super long story, it led to me dedicating myself, getting my my master's degree in social work, getting my degree for private practice, my licensure. So I'm a private practice psychotherapist, and eventually led me to actually meeting and working with Dr. Sarno, and he referred into my practice, and we worked as colleagues for many years.
The Jeanette Barber story is amazing. I didn't know the New York Marathon part of that, and I didn't know the cartwheel part of that. Where I heard about her was through the 2020 John Stossel mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. She said in that particular episode that she estimated that out of pocket she spent close to $20,000 in treatment for what it was that she was going, whatever it was that she was going through. And that was, that was after insurance. So she was guessing that she was in the six figures probably if it was out of pocket. And I know there's a correlation between socioeconomics and chronic pain. Michael Galinsky talks about it in All the Rage, the movie. But it was really amazing that she went through this for so many years, had the wheelie cart, did all that kind of stuff. And then It was like through the book, she went to the lecture, and her, along with the other people that were featured in the episode, suddenly this stuff vanished. And like, for me, one of my favorite television show of all time is Seinfeld. And then when I learned that Larry David had the exact mm-hmm. same kind of thing. Yeah. And then, I spent several years working in radio. So Howard Stern is always an iconic figure in that industry. Yes. And then I learned that he had this sort of thing. So it's kind of like, how much of it is out there that people just aren't really talking about, that they're, there's this, like I recently read, my wife and I, we love Lady Gaga, and that the Netflix documentary recently came out. And then I saw something you posted. It was like an open letter to Lady
Well,
Gaga.
I'm dying to help her because I watched the documentary, and as I'm watching it, it's like I'm tearing my heart out because, you know, give me 2 weeks with her and she won't be in chronic pain anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so it, and listen, that might not be true for everyone. You know, when I stand in front of lecture halls of people and I talk to them, I always say, this might not work for everyone, but I'm telling you right now, it can work for you. Each person needs to be their own advocate because only you can do what's necessary to heal yourself from this, but each person can. I'm really confident in that.
And your approach is, it's something called journal speak, right?
Yes.
So tell me about journal speak. What is it?
Okay. So if we're going to go into Dr. Sarno's theory briefly, what he believes is that we live in a mind-body system. Some of these are my words and some of these are his. I've been working with his work for so many years that sometimes I've created this theory, but it's always, listen, these ideas are not mine. I am serving as a vehicle to bring these ideas to what I hope to be mass consciousness.
Yep.
Because Dr. Sarno, my hero, my father figure, he passed away in July. So, you know, I don't have him anymore to consult with and to talk to and to share these ideas with, but I know his ideas will live through me and through many other practitioners who are doing this work. But in any case, he posited that we live in a mind-body system. Sometimes you feel things in your heart and sometimes you feel things in your body. The most important thing to understand is the pain is not in your head. When I have heard people dismiss Dr. Sarno's work over the years, that is the first thing they say. Don't tell me the pain is in my head. I can't get out of bed.
Yep.
You know, what kind of a jerk tells me that the pain is in my head, you know? So that's the first thing I need to lead with. The pain is not in your head. The pain is a searing, miserable existence that is in your body. You feel pain in your body. I've been there. You've been there. Most people have been there. However, even though the pain isn't in your head, we live in such a complicated mind-body system that nobody understands as of yet with our current understanding of the mind and the body. So essentially, what Dr. Sarno explained is that we have repressed emotions, okay? We all do. They come from childhood experiences and trauma. They come from daily life stressors. And they come from our personalities, which most of us, especially people susceptible to TMS, are perfectionists. You're your own worst critic. You want to be approved of, you want people to think highly of you, and it's very important. And these kind of personality features really lead to a lot of internal strife. And so essentially his theory was, if all of these emotions are down there and they start bubbling to the surface, he used to say we have a reservoir of rage. I like to expand that to a reservoir of rage, sadness, shame, fear, terror, you know, whatever, our feelings in there. And when they start to come to the consciousness and sort of knock on the door of the consciousness, something happens within our nervous system. I like to say our fight or flight system gets activated, and we don't understand the difference between these feelings rising and being chased by a woolly mammoth,
yep.
Right? We're still operating in the reptilian brain here, the brain stem. The fight or flight response lives in our most, you know, ancient form of brain activity, which is, of course, keep us alive, right? No one's having some creative, lovely experience when they're running for their life. You're running for your life. Your body needs to be activated and ready to save your life. Without your life, nothing else matters. So essentially, what journal speak is a safe way for people to go through the process of excavating these emotions and showing our mind-body systems that feeling these feelings is safe, is acceptable. You won't stop being loved. You won't stop being cared for. You know, I mean, I'm simplifying it because of purposes of explaining it here, but it's really just a way, I call it a vehicle. So journal speak is a journaling practice, but it's also simply a way to think. So do you want to like kind of talk more about this, or do you want me to go into examples?
Well, so I think what's really the biggest takeaway for me, so it's like I started kind of doing a lot of this stuff the very early part of July. In fact, I found Dr. Sarno's book almost exactly 48 hours after he passed away. And it was so right. Like I'd literally never heard of him, except for I remember about 6 months ago, I came across just the cover of The Great Pain Deception on Amazon. And I was like, oh, that, because the cover's a little... And he admits that, like, you know, maybe the cover should be different. And I was like, you know, what is TMS? Like, this is stupid. I'm going to go get an MRI. And so I saw the concept, and then I just came across Sarno's book. But I, you know, I've kind of done the journaling thing, and I've done a couple of modalities, you know, programs around this stuff where I've done like a 30-day journal-esque thing, but it was very repetitive and I wasn't getting a lot out of it. Just since I started doing the journal speak stuff, like, I'm starting to get different sensations in my body now where it's like, it's tough to describe, but it's like there's been so much tension that's been built up, particularly like up and down my spine and kind of in my upper trapezius for so many months, close to a year actually. But as I've been working on your journal speak, it's been sort of a different sensation where it's almost like the muscles are letting go, and it's more of a, I just had a really tough workout because I've had contracted muscles for a year, right? More than a year. And so that's kind of what I think is going on. So I guess, like, give me an example of where, you know, you talk about a lot of this stuff sort of bubbling up. You refer to it as the steam valve. Like, basically, yes, when you have physical pain or migraine, like, I've got a lot of friends that have migraines, and I, you know, I, so for every bit of me, I want to say, look into this stuff instead of getting, you know, sinus surgery, or instead of just sort of sitting there and taking pill after pill, because I've been there. But it could be stomach issues. It could be skin problems. It could be a variety of different things. Larry David, he had a pain in his arm. And Howard Stern, they told him his rotator cuff was just mm-hmm. born with an abnormality. But that physical pain is literally like, think about yourself as you have a 20-ounce glass of water. And let's say the water is essentially your body or your being. And as your, you know, those emotions sort of, they move up. And then as soon as they're about to spill over, like, that's the physical pain. And what the adrenal speak is that you're essentially removing some of the water out or popping open the steam valve before it overflows. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I would say that would be pretty correct. I mean, essentially journals. So it's hard for me to explain this without just getting super passionate about it. Because I believe that journal speak is like the answer to so many problems, mental and physical. Essentially, we live in a polite society, okay? So we are not supposed to think ill of people. We are not to speak ill of people. We are not to, there are certain feelings that every human being has as just the very result of being human that that are not considered acceptable. And most of us are taught from whatever doctrine we're raised with, even if it's just being, you know, in society, to be societally appropriate, that we need to kind of keep it under wraps. And I think this is so prevalent that most people don't even know it's happening. You know, like when you have a situation, so I'll give you an example of journal speak. And I'm just like really pulling this out of the air. But I have a client whose husband, after many years of work, working outside of the house, is retiring. And they have a lot of plans. They've been married 40 years. And they have a lot of plans together to travel and to do all these wonderful things with their grandchildren. And isn't that wonderful, right? Isn't that something that we've been looking forward to, that we save our, they have money saved. It's all good. So as this was starting to approach, my client started experiencing horrible physical problems, shoulder problems and back problems and IBS and skin problems and constipation. And she was like, what's going on? So we ended up, you know, working together at that time. And she was telling me all about this situation where her husband was going to come back into, you know, the fold. But then I got little hints here and there. She was like, yeah, well, you know, he never did anything around here, so I don't know what's going to happen now. And little things like that. And I was like, So just for the purposes of, you know, this podcast, I'll just kind of skip all the way to her journal speak. But essentially, it went from, my husband's retiring and isn't this wonderful? And, you know, it'll be mixed bag, but we'll see how it goes, to, you know what? That no good SOB has never helped me around the house. I raised these kids by myself. I never got any credit for the part I played in his job. Everyone's throwing a parade for him. Where's the parade for me? And, like, you know, and it gets dark, things I wouldn't necessarily say out loud here, but, you know, lots of feelings in whatever kind of way they need to come out, but honest and raw. And she started, and an important thing people need to know about journal speak is only for you. She never said these things to her husband, and all her symptoms are gone.
Yep.
It's not about mending a relationship. Her relationship with her husband didn't even need mending, really. It was about her holding down these feelings. And then all of a sudden, there was a reason for them to rise. And when they started to rise, her body reacted by giving her a lot of physical symptoms because, and this is so important for people to realize, her brain perceived the feelings as a greater threat than the physical problems, right? Our brain is just seeking to keep us alive. It's doing its very best. And if the perception of the brain is that these feelings feel scarier and more of a danger to our existence than dealing with doctor's appointments and medications and surgery and canceling your plans, the brain's going to go with the doctors and the canceling plans. And as soon as she did her journal speak, allowed her feelings to rise safely, destroyed it. One of the things I talk about in journal speak practices, you're finished with a journaling session. You don't need to read it again. You've already given your brain the message. Throw it out. Delete, delete. If you want to take it to your therapist, make sure you keep it safe. Journal speak will not be understood by someone who can't speak the language. She's symptom free now. Having a fantastic life with her husband.
So literally, like if you're doing this practice, on a journal, like write it out and then burn it is what you're saying, or you type it on a computer and then as soon as you're done, you literally you're saying delete as in delete the document. No reason to keep
it. I am saying delete the document. I'm saying that the reason this is journal speak and not journaling is that this is not some beautiful leather-bound keepsake that is going to mean something to you. This is a vehicle. So, you know, I use the word journal because I want it to involve people understanding that the best way to do this is to write it out at the beginning. But once people understand a journal speak practice, journal speak becomes a way of thinking, a way of life, a way of talking to yourself, a way of talking to your therapist, a way of understanding that when we let these inner feelings rise without shame, when we understand the trauma that we've been through and are able to look at it without apology because no one else is listening but us, our mind-body systems are no longer in this heightened fight-or-flight panic. And when our systems go down to equilibrium, there is no more need for the pain. The pain is there to distract us from the feelings.
So it's like, I think one of the comparisons that you use in one of the videos is a five-year-old. Is essentially the logic that we need to have in doing this. Like when I'm writing it, I'll have this, especially early on, like I just felt so petty writing a lot of this stuff. But then I think like, gosh, my daughter's three and a lot of the shit that she gets really mad about is so fucking petty. Right.
Yeah.
But that's how I need to think about it. And I remember like, you know, this stuff all hit me in kind of I wouldn't say perfectionist is how I define myself, but very much obsessed with like success. There's been certain traits that have defined me for a long time, whether it like be a great salesperson or whatever the case, you know, a top performing person at companies that I work at and things like that. And I was going through like a very much a struggle last summer in being as good as I kind of always thought I was. And then, you know, boom, it was like suddenly I just started getting, I got sciatica and then I got knee problems and then I got back and neck problems and it really just came out of nowhere. And then I started getting on a roll and really, you know, outselling everybody in the company for a couple of months and suddenly all my symptoms vanished and I thought, right. Well, that was weird. And so I'm okay now. And then like it was a 10-day stretch. And I remember at the end of October last year, I'm driving with my daughter and she keeps taking off her shoe. She's in a car seat, taking off her shoe and like tossing it across the car. And at first I kind of laughed and I was like, oh, you know, stop it, Zoe, whatever. And then we go to get some gas and like, I'm really getting fucking agitated because it's I stopped laughing to try and feed into it. Right. And then I'm getting gas and I, you know, I put the gas cap back on and I close the doors and I get back into my seat and I turn on the car or whatever. And then she tosses her shoe again. And this time it goes out the window and I bend over to pick it up. And like with every fiber of my being, I cannot scream at this child or even think that what she's doing is anything more than just being a shitty little kid. And my trap spasms and that was the end of it. All my symptoms came back immediately.
Yeah.
And now looking back, I just know that like I wasn't allowing myself to sort of feel that, God, like this kid's really fucking pissing me off. And I was just saying to myself, the logical adult, oh, it's okay. She's just two and a half. And, you know, don't be mad at her. She can't do any wrong. She's your perfect little angel. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like you would agree, like we love our kids, but our kids can act like, you know, we sort of have... I love, like it was such a turning point for me in looking at your work when you said, it's not necessarily that we, you know, that we hate motherhood or we hate fatherhood. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that the expectation of this perfect child that acts perfect in every way all the time, that expectation is shot and killed because they're 3 years old and they're insane. They're a little kid, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I want you to know that there's two things that brings up that I would like to say. The first is that, okay, so we talk about a reservoir and where that reservoir has rage, sadness, shame, anger, and it comes from childhood, daily life, and personality. Okay, it's in there. When you do a journal speak practice, and this is something that I'm not saying, this is not conjecture. This is 25 years of working on this with between myself and a private practice for over a decade. So I'm saying this, that it's a fact. If you do a regular journal speak practice, which begins with actual journaling, but like I said, it's not a life sentence of journaling. It ends up being a way of thinking and a way of processing information. Your daughter could do the exact same thing to you and you would not get symptoms. You might be annoyed, but you wouldn't get symptoms because the reason we get symptoms is our stuff is at critical mass. We're not putting a ladle into that reservoir and dumping it off. We're just letting things build and build. So our bodies are going to react. But I know with myself and with many, many thousands of people I've connected with my book and my lectures and whatever, that I've heard back a lot of feedback. Like the same thing happened to me that happened to me a year ago that sent me basically into traction. And I felt no pain. And I said, yep, that's what happens because you take care of it. So that's one thing I want to say about that.
So people that have symptoms, like, is it, you know, say that they've been like me, for instance, if I got 100%, you know, I continue to do the journaling, like on most days I'm 95% there. Like there's nothing, I don't do anything. Like I hold back nothing. I go and do everything. I'll go and I'll squat 350 pounds and I won't think anything right of it. So whereas, you know, 4 months ago, I wouldn't have even thought about attempting that. And so that's been a big, once I read Sarno's book, like I was all in, I'm going to do everything. So say that I get to a point where I'm 100%, I feel like none of this ever happened. It's completely behind me. Do people then stop the journal speak, or is it when symptoms start? Or I guess, like, how do you recommend to people when they have sort of flare ups, like what do they do and when do they stop or do they stop and things like that?
Well, you know, Eddie, that's a really important question because I think that's a really big misunderstanding in this work. Okay, and I'm going to say something that's going to sound negative at the beginning, but it's not, okay? There's no such thing as a pain-free life, okay? I have the cure for chronic pain. I don't have the cure for human pain. Human pain is a reality of being a human being, meaning sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our body. And I don't think you would ever wake up and say, there's no way I'm getting sad today. Nothing's going to make me sad. No, no way. Yep. There's no way anything's going to anger me today. Definitely not. I'm done with anger. I cured anger, right? Nobody would ever say that. However, people want to say, I want to be pain-free and I want to be done. And that doesn't exist. So, and even me, I consider myself a super guru of this. I get physical stuff all the time, mm-hmm. but I never have fear attached to it. And it never becomes chronic. And so what I will say is that I probably have a host. And if you listen carefully to All the Rage, Dr. Sarno said, I've probably gotten every symptom that every of my clients have gotten.
Yep.
He says that. And I love when he said that. I was like looking at the screen like, my Dr. Sarno, I miss you. Because I actually spoke at the premiere of that movie in New York City. It was the night he died. Well, I found out he died. He died the night before. So it was just this really beautiful kind of bittersweet tribute to him that Michael and I were up there speaking on that night. But in any case, I get all these symptoms. Sometimes I actually get a symptom I've never had before if I'm working intensely with a client. Like I once had a knee thing. I was like, I don't get knee things.
Yeah.
But it's okay. You know, it's okay. It's one of the ways we work through things is we feel things in our bodies. I'm very gentle with myself about it. So I don't journal every day. But if I'm starting to get symptoms and I'm starting to feel achy and when I wake up in the morning, it takes me a bit to straighten up, I get to my journal speak practice.
Yep.
I put my timer on 20 minutes. I turn the phone over so I'm not looking. And I just, if I don't have a specific thing that's bothering me, I take a moment, close my eyes, take a deep breath and say, what am I feeling the most? And let's say I come up with sadness. I'm feeling sad for some reason. I don't get it. I'll write on the top of the paper, why am I so sad today? And I just start to write and I'm super honest and I'm 5 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I might be sad because of something that happened when I was 13 because I have two 13-year-olds right now.
Yep.
And they live and they have things they're going through. And I know it brings me back to that time. Any therapist will tell you your children will trigger you at whatever was going on for you at that age.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's just like not such a tragic deal is what I'm saying. You know, so like what I would say to you, Eddie, is – you know, keep going, you know, be intrepid, keep doing what you're doing. And then, yeah, you'll be like, I'm feeling good. And like every other human being in the world, you'll stop doing daily practices because you're feeling so great. And then your body will catch up to you and you always have this tool. What I seek to do is give people a toolkit that they always have with them and they can reach into it anytime without fear. And that's how you live your best life. It's amazing what I see in my practice.
Yeah. So yeah. Since looking into this stuff, like one of the things that, you know, now I'm and I have a there's a very high level CrossFit regional athlete, you know, one of the best pound for pound athletes I've ever seen who I'm friends with. And we talked on this show a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I asked her, like, so what do your peers, people that do the same sport as you, what do they think when you say my lat is very tight today and, you know, it's having issues and I'm not performing as well as I could. And so I'm trying to figure out what might be bothering me. And she goes, people look at me like I'm nuts. Like that's she's got it, right? Like she has somehow caught on to this, even being 25 years old, like, and never actually being trained in any of this stuff. And so she feels like it's miles ahead. And Howard Stern in that All the Rage movie says that Sarno's from another planet. Like he, you know, he recognized this stuff. And I don't know if, and we got a couple more minutes, but I don't know if me feel like I'm seeing more things in publication or I'm seeing more things in, you know, news that like this might be the answer for chronic pain that doctors have not been able to figure out. Like, I don't know if it's one of those things where I'm seeing it more because I'm looking for it. Or do you think that there's actually like a fundamental shift that's occurring in medicine? And if that's the case, where do you think this will be in 10 or 15 or 20 years?
Well, you know, I have a saying in my work, my writing and in my practice, which is desperation leads to surrender and surrender leads to truth. And what I'm seeing right now in society is that opioids are a tragic crisis of epic proportions and people are dying every day. And I'm also seeing that many, many surgeries are taking place that people are saying are not effective. And we are being pushed to the point of desperation when it comes to chronic pain, that we are opening ourselves to surrender. I personally think that Dr. Sarno's work has always been the answer to wellness. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying it's the only answer. Exercise, diet, wellness, meditation, mindfulness, yoga, you pick, right? There are so many things we can do for ourselves that promote our best health. But if you ignore the emotional component to the mind-body connection, you will only go so far because our emotions are with us all the time and we react to things constantly. And so to answer your question, I personally plan to be a big part of it as much as I possibly can, as much as the universe lets me. This is going to be mad different in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think let's go. I think every person in society gets to choose for themselves. And anyone who's listening to this today, you can have a better life, but it's up to you. Each of us gets to choose. And to me, that is like magical.
It was very curious to me for a long time why doctors would pair painkillers, you know, opioids with antidepressants. And like, now I feel like I kind of get why,
yeah,
right? Like we, I don't know. When my neck and back first started hurting, okay, so I saw 24 doctors and several of them said, you know, there's good support on spinehealth.com. Stay the fuck off spinehealth.com unless you want to feel like total shit. But if you look at 90% of the people that are on there, like you can feel their emotional pain as you're reading what they're talking about. And they're like, you know, I'm on my third spinal fusion surgery and it doesn't feel any different than it did. And I just like now know, you know, knowing what I know now, the 25th doctor who, and I can't praise her more is Dr. Kim Harmon, who's the head physician at the University of Washington for the football team. I see her on the sidelines there. In fact, she was in the news here in Seattle recently because the zoo, there were two gorillas that got in a fight, and one of them blasted their knee like it was in pretty rough shape, and she got called in to evaluate this gorilla. It's like they have doctors there, but why did they pick Dr. Harmon? And she came in and worked on this gorilla, and she said, you know, the body will heal itself. There's no splinting. Basically, keep the stress out of the gorilla's life for this period of time, and right. It will go away. She was the 25th doctor I saw, and she examined both my shoulders. She examined my neck. She examined my back, you know, really like touched the muscle. She said that it felt like boulders were under the skin of my back, and she just immediately said, What's your stress level like? I mean, what's your life like? And I'd never heard a doctor bring that up. And right. She brought up to me sports psychology. Like, she's like, you know, think about it. We work with the football team, and these guys get physical ailments all the time. And if a receiver drops a critical pass in the fourth quarter on a Saturday, we may have to spend 6 days with them, with the sports psychologist, where their knee may be really, really hurting for those several days and they don't know why. And the sports psychologist works with them through the week. Friday, the knee pain goes away and they feel fine about themselves and they play great on Saturday. And I'm like, I just feel like there's so many instances out there now that I'm looking for them that, like, how has this been missed for so long? Like, it's right in front of me. And like, my wife, I can't imagine she's sick of hearing me talk about it because she's sort of gotten a new husband out of this too, I think.
Yeah,
and my daughter's gotten a new dad, and my parents have gotten a new, you know, it makes me tear up sometimes. It's like sort of everybody's gotten this new reborn version of me, but I just feel like the work you're doing is it's so critical. And I wish that like this kind of stuff was more mainstream, but I think you're right. I think if we were to look down in 2027, it's going to be very different.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope so. I feel like true readiness is everything. I think that about most of life. And so hopefully society is ready because, you know, here I come.
Yeah. And something else too, like as we wrap up, I want to commend you on being so emphatic in a lot of the videos that you do. Like the big eye opener for me again was like when you really started talking about sort of how you feel about the disappointment of, you know, motherhood being very different from what the expectation was. And it's just like, that's something that I think there was even a comment on the video that, you know, I commend you for saying what I don't think a lot of parents will say, because we want to believe that like, it's all, you know, it's all roses and that, you know, life is always wonderful and parenthood is always wonderful and stuff like that. But I mean, the reality is that you still have, like, even if something is wonderful in your life, it can still make you miserable in a way, right? Like, those are the things I almost feel like are the things that are the best parts of your life are the ones that may stress you out and cause you the most negative emotions. And I think the fact that you care about them enough to cause yourself physical pain says that they're pretty important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the most important places to look when you're in, you know, the process, and that's what I teach people to do, is to look at the places where you have conflict. If you feel one way or another way about things, that will never cause you pain. It's the conflict that kills. That's why human relationships are much more complicated than our relationships with our pets. With our pets, it is only love. Our pets don't talk back. They don't, you know, give us a hard time. They don't go out drinking with their boyfriend. Our pets are just there to love us.
Yep.
But our family members cause us a lot of conflict. And that's why, you know, human relationships are so difficult. So yes, a promotion, a new baby, getting married, moving in with your, you know, significant other. These are things that can cause a lot of pain if you don't unearth the conflict. And before we go, I really do want to say this, Eddie, that I do get a lot of emails. I get a lot. And so whomever's listening to this, I want to put this out there so I can just help people skip a step. I'm no longer taking private clients. I get emails about it all the time, but I'm really on a push to bring this message to the global community. So I am I have my group of clients that keep me fresh, but I can't take on new people because it's such a precious relationship between client and therapist. And I don't, you know, have the energy right now to put toward starting that, nurturing new ones. However, I get these emails all the time. I have resources. I have a YouTube channel called The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. Many free videos on it, which you have partaken in. I have a website, thecureforchronicpain.com, that links to my book, which is available on Amazon, called The Meaning of Truth. And on the site itself, because this is what a lot of people are asking me for, I have an online course. I published it, and people are really telling me that is almost as good as working with me. because I went through it day by day, helping people understand. It's called Freedom from Chronic Pain, and it's on the site. So I just really hope that as many people as possible start opening themselves to this, because the only change that we're going to get that you and I were just talking about in 10 years is going to be with each person making a choice for themselves, because modern medicine will not bring this to us. We will bring this to modern medicine.
I mean, otherwise I feel like it would have done it already. Like there's the, mm-hmm. there's a sarcastic doctor in the 2020 story that says, you know, this isn't a mainstream idea. And if you feel the need to think that, you know, dancing around or taking a pill or spinning a cat around your head, if you think it will work, then, you know, by all means do it. But it's just like, you know, it's that attitude. It's like, well, I don't know what it is and I don't know what can fix it, but it's definitely not this, right? It's definitely not your emotions, but I don't know what it is. It seems so stupid, but like that was made in 1999. And I feel like in 18 years, yeah. there's been a lot of room to
come a long way.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. Again, the curefor chronic pain.com. Nicole, thanks so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Bye.